1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I hope that this will encourage you a little bit. I know I preach about a lot, a lot about Christian character and how we ought to treat other people and everything, but it's just mighty important because, I see so much of Christians, so-called Christians, professing Christians, that are just wretched people. They're hard to deal with in business. They're hard to work with on a job. They're hard to go to church with. They're just hard to get along with, no matter what. And it's just not supposed to be that way. This is just good character stuff for anybody, Christian or not. But it ought to come natural to a Christian. The Spirit of God in you, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, all of that stuff. It ought to come natural for us if we've been redeemed, if we've been regenerated, born again spiritually. We ought to be able to look at other people and treat them decent. We ought to be easy to get along with. Charity is easy to be entreated, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, we talked about charity last week. Ought to be an easy person to get along with if Jesus lives in your heart. And so it's just necessary. The time we live in, everything's so corrupt. Everything is so, we've lost so much ground in the churches in this area. Honesty and just integrity. We've talked about that. And just, so let's talk about it. How, honor all men tonight. Come on in, Gilda. We've been expecting you. Glad we didn't have to send out a posse. All right. So, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. All good character traits have a view of others as the starting point. Good character, that's where it starts, in considering others above yourself. Yep. It begins with denying self, you might say. Jesus said if we're going to follow him, that's the starting point for following him. Deny self.
Right.
Take up a cross, follow him. So all good character traits have a view of others as their starting point. You can go back to where Jesus said, as you would that others do unto you, should do unto you, do you even so to them likewise. I always get those words mixed up. It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, character will, if you live by that, if you believe that, and if that's your discipline and your interaction with other people, you'll have good character. Because it is about how you treat other people. It's the foundation for good character. First thing named in the fruit of the Spirit is love. So the Christian will love God and will love his neighbor. All the law hangs on those two, don't it?
Yes.
Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. The lack of the love of God shed abroad in the heart is manifested by a selfish attitude that prevails in our thinking. The speaking and the actions that people hear from us. That's how it's manifested. If you're a mean, wretched person, it's because you're not right with God.
Yes.
And that's just the way it is.
Yes.
So Christian character involves being good to other people, being mindful of other people, and the attitude that we have toward other people. This selfish attitude will produce bad character, which will be manifested by bad manners.
Yes.
Lack of consideration for others. You know, what we've talked about in just the everyday things of just leaving a mess for somebody else to clean up. Mm-hmm. Not considering your actions and neglect and laziness that causes somebody else more work, mm-hmm. more expense, and more trouble. So these are all the traits that make someone a wretched person instead of a blessing to others. When you have you don't consider others, no manners, disrespect of others, contempt for others. That's what makes you a wretched person.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's how you describe a wretched person. They just don't care about anybody but themselves. And all they ever have to say about anybody else is bad. Mm-hmm. Charity thinketh no evil. Didn't say speaketh no evil. Said thinketh no evil. If you're really right with God, you just won't look at other people that way. So good character starts with truly loving other people and putting them before yourself. All the things we've talked about in good character, you think about it, it applies. That applies everywhere. Good character starts with truly loving other people and putting them before yourselves. Charity we talked about last week, wasn't that the kind of the definition of it? Love is really, I think Gary said it in Sunday school last week too, but it's putting others before yourself. It's removing self and thinking of others. That's what charity, love, really is. An unsaved person can sometimes show good character simply because of his training as a child and the influence of good people on his life. You know, you're talking about dogs today and training dogs and people. I was thinking, you know, people are the same way. They pick up on what they're around. They pick up on the personality, the attitude, the spirit of the person they're around. Children do that. Other people do that. Bad attitudes are contagious. You know, wretchedness is contagious. Look at our country. Where'd all this come from? Well, it spread like wildfire, didn't it? Hatred is that way. Hatred just spreads like wildfire. But to have godly character is the result of the influence of the Spirit of God dwelling in a person. You know, a lost person can have good character because they were taught and they had an example before them. And they develop good habits early on of considering other people and having manners. People used to teach their children manners. But then a degenerate generation came along that thought it was all ridiculous and foolish and nonsense. And so then there's a profane generation that don't think it matters. Well, all that stuff that they used to teach and used to hold high regard for, it does matter. We've found out, haven't we?
Yes,
it does matter. You should have manners. Children should be taught to be polite.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of other things. As Christians, the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, the first thing it says, honor all men. All men. That don't leave anybody out. We don't get to pick and choose who we honor,
right,
who we treat with respect, who we defer to. Who are we supposed to do that for? Everybody but us. The rule is we never put ourselves first. Now, that's the opposite of what you'll hear anywhere else in the world and in most churches nowadays. The reigning philosophy of this world is me first, like a toddler. It's the mind of a child. Yes, me first. Got to take care of yourself first. What was that thing I read the other day, Terry? I told you to see how ridiculous it is. You know, it was basically the same thing. Don't waste your life trying to make somebody else happy. Make you happy first. Meet your needs first. I tried that one time. It's no good. Never do it again. Oh, baloney. You're listening to a wretched person talk when you see that kind of stuff. We're to esteem them higher. Who? All men. Higher than who? Me. We're to esteem all of them higher, not lower than ourselves. Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that's honoring all men. That's honoring other people when you put them before yourself. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned a week or two ago, but some of the family thinks it's real strange about us that we've taught the kids, you don't take the last biscuit. You don't take the last bite of whatever's in the bowl, and we'll go off and leave it a lot of times at the table, and they think that's ridiculous. Well, no, I don't think it is. I think it's good manners.
Yes,
it's teaching you to respect others. And animals have their pecking order, and selfish people are just like them in this matter. Yeah, that's a carnal thing. It's a fleshly thing. To have an attitude of looking down on other people. I want you to know that is not a godly trait. That is always, no matter what the situation is, when you look down on someone else, even in your heart and mind, if you think yourself better than them or higher than them, in any way, worth more than them, worthy of more than them, you're wrong. I mean, that's just a carnal mind. That's a self-worshipping thing. To try to think that you are better. It's a carnal, fleshly thing. The disciples did that. You know, they were way off base when they were reasoning about who was the greatest among them. I mean, here all this fixing to happen, and Jesus is teaching them, and all, and they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. I'm the best. No, you're not. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. I'm better at it than you are. That is not godly character. Jesus rebuked them for it. It is offensive to everyone when somebody's like that, isn't it? When you went to school, did you know anybody like that? Of course you did. Have you ever worked at a place where you knew somebody like that? Of course you did. You ever went to church with somebody who was like that? Oh, yes. Yeah, many times. I've known a lot more people that are like that than I have who have good character, who do honor all men, who are humble, who treat other people like they're better than me. They deserve more than me. I say it every now and then. Remember Brother Earl? He said, Jew first and also the Greek. He said, I don't care. If they get to go first, I don't care. As long as I can get in somewhere. I don't mind them going before me.
Right.
You'll feel a lot better if you let somebody in line in front of you at the store instead of crowding them out, racing to get there before they do. You'll feel a lot better if you just say, go ahead. Mm-hmm. They'll feel a lot better about you too. A little bit of kindness goes a long way. A little bit of this goes a long way. Honor all men. Put them before yourself. It's offensive when you don't. It's offensive to everybody when you put yourself first. But more important than that, it's offensive to God when we do that. God don't look at us and feel happy with us or pleased with us when we walk over other people. Literally or just in our minds, attitude. The carnal pecking order type of social organization, what's it based upon? I mean, you know, how do people sort themselves out into the different social order, levels of social order? Who's the greatest and who's the best and who's on the bottom? You know, how do you sort that out? Well, it's always carnal things. It has to do with fleshly characteristics. If you're pretty or ugly, how pretty you are, and whose opinion that, you know. That puts you on top. Yeah. How ugly you are, that puts you on the bottom. How smart you are, top. Dumb you are, bottom. You know, it's physically strong and flawless, they're on top of the pecking order. For some reason, they are placed above everybody else, and they place themselves above everybody else. The most physically attractive. They're on the top. At the bottom are the weak and the crippled and the least physically attractive. But that really about sums up the way people establish their social order. Now, is that really, does that have anything to do with honor? Why should you be honored for things that you didn't have anything to do with? You know, you didn't get them yourself. You didn't make yourself better looking, stronger, smarter. You didn't make yourself that way. And you might be wrong about how smart you are, how good looking you are, how strong you are. And other people might be wrong about how good looking, how strong, or how, you know, smart you are. Nothing about this has any kind of view toward God and righteousness. But it's all about human pride and selfishness. See? It's a very ungodly way to be, and it's a ground of poor character when you look at others and always try to climb above, just get up a little higher than them. Isn't that funny how that's in the nature of even little children, goats, animals? They got to climb up a little higher. That is selfishness. It's not benevolence. And selfishness does not produce good character. God doesn't establish an order to the... God does establish an order to the society of people, but it's not like men do. All people are not equal, and we know that. I don't care what the Constitution says or the preamble. That's not what the Bible says. It's like the little deal where he was getting in trouble for saying the Bible said it and it don't say it. That's another one of them things. These truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Now they're not. Come on. Equal in value before God, yes. God's no respecter of persons, but equal in their strength. And no, men are just not equal. But all that inequality is not based on the lust of the flesh, as what we just talked about there. They're not equal. But it's not because of those things.
Right.
Age and experience sets a person apart. It sets them on a higher level, and God commands honor and respect for that alone. He does. We're to respect the elders. Yeah, we're to have rise up before the hoary head. We talked about that not too long ago. Just that is reason to honor them. Besides the fact that God's already commanded us to honor all men. We're all to rise up before the hoary head and have an extra amount of respect and honor for that. But we're supposed to treat everybody like that, like they know more than us. You know how much better off you'd be if you had that attitude? If you'd listen instead of talk? You can't learn while you're talking. And if you talk, you know, nobody can talk to you. And you're never going to hear what you might have heard. You know, simply the fact that someone has lived a lot longer than we have is reason enough to honor them. I've got some figures here, and I know I mentioned something about this here a while back, but this is a little more detailed here. A person who's 40 years old has lived 7,305 days longer than someone who's 20 years old. You know, you ever get to the end of the day and say, what did I learn today? What did I accomplish today? Well, what could you do in 7,305 days? Now, that's just the difference between Anna and Seth. Basically, that's a lot of days to learn the hard way. A person who's 50 years old has lived 10,956 days more than the 20-year-old and 12,782 days more than the 15-year-old. Why did I just talk to you today? You're about going to be 15 pretty soon. Well, there ain't nobody in here 50. I'm way past it. And Seth ain't there yet. We'll be pretty soon. But that's 12,000 days. I mean, you can add 14 years more on that for between me and you, Wyatt. So, you know, me and you, I've lived something like 18,000 days more than you have so far. That's a lot of... Yes, it is. Well, that ain't all. A person who's 60 years old has lived 14,610 more days than the 20-year-old and 16,436 days more than the 15-year-old. See, I told you 16,000. That's just 60 years. If a person's 80 years old, now Dad's 82 going to be right away back there. He's lived 21,915 days more than a 20-year-old. And Dad's lived 21,900, that's almost 22,000 days more. That's a lot of days. Mm-hmm. Did you learn anything in them 22,000 days, Dad?
Not very much.
much.
How much has that person learned about life in those thousands of days of living that the youngster has not lived yet?
Yes.
How much experience does that older person have in everything concerning life and death and sickness and poverty and suffering and all the rest of it? How much more experience? That demands respect.
Yes, absolutely.
How foolish it must look in the sight of God for us to think ourselves higher, smarter, and better in any way than they. But most people do. It's the way of the world. We should all be in awe of someone who's lived so much longer than we have. Saying about that, and I think every once in a while about the people who lived before the flood. Noah lived to be 950 years old. Adam lived to be 930 years old. Methuselah, 969 years old. And lots more of them lived those hundreds. I mean, you know, I'm just 63 right now. And it's pretty awesome to me how it is when you get this old. What if I was going to live another 800 and some years?
Oh, wow. Think about
it. What could you know and understand by the time you've lived 900 years on this earth? No wonder Noah understood who his boys were and where they were going. No wonder he had that much wisdom. He done watched this world long enough to figure out how things work and where all these roads lead to in people's lives, with their character. He judged the character of his three boys, and he prophesied the history of the world. So we ought to have respect for that. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to respect others, but that's one that I just threw that in there. Leviticus 19:32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." Position in life is reason enough for honor. Here's another one. Honor thy parents. It's a command of God, not an option you can choose or neglect or reject at your own discretion without consequences.
That's very true.
1 Timothy 5:17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Now, you ain't going to believe this, but I've heard several times through my years of going to church where preachers interpreted that to mean they ought to make twice the money that the highest paid person in their church makes. That their salary as the pastor ought to be double whatever the highest paid member of their church was. I've heard that. I don't know how many times. That ain't what it means. That's not what it means. It means you ought to honor them. You ought to have respect for them and regard them highly. You should never buck against them. You should never lightly esteem them. Even if you don't agree with them, you ought to defer to them. Now it says the elders that rule well, let them be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Timothy 6:1, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." That's for your employer who you work for. Honor them. All honor is due them. This is Bible I'm reading to you about this subject. 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, their wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed, that your prayers be not hindered." All those things depend on how you treat and esteem other people, these certain people that he's talking about here. Ephesians 5:33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Wives are to honor their husband. They're to reverence their husband. You don't like that? Something wrong in your soul. You ought to honor all men. That's how much more your husband, your wife, your boss, your elders in the church, elders in your family. So we see clearly that there is a social order for men to live by that God Himself has given us. And it's not according to how good looking you are, how strong you are, how much money you got, how many things you own, how popular you are with everybody, how quick-witted you are, how eloquent you are, how talented you are, how good you can sing. None of that has anything to do with the way God sorts out the social order. It's real simple with God. The older people, the younger people, husband and wife, and master and servant. Those are the relationships where God gives us instructions on how to deal with it and how to live it, and the attitudes we ought to have. Since we know we're to honor others, how do we do it in practical life? Well, here's just a few little things, pointers. You do it just by personal courtesy. Defer to others in all matters. Open a door for somebody. You know, say, no, you go ahead. Be polite. Offer to help. You see somebody struggling with too much to carry, offer to help. If they drop something, help them pick it up. Don't just step on it as you walk past them. I've seen a picture before, and it was not like on a bus or a city mass transit, you know, subway or something, but here's an old woman hanging on a pole and these young punks sitting around with their phones, and nobody would give her a seat. Yeah. You know, men ought to get up and give the woman a seat. Yes. If there's no seat. It's just plain old courtesy. Personal courtesy. Yes. And she ought to say thank you.
Yes.
Give them the right of way in all matters, especially in conversation. Give them the right of way. Be polite. Be quiet while other people are talking. Don't interrupt. Don't be rude or insulting or treat people in a degrading way. You know, calling people names and stuff like that. I really believe that has a lot to do with why we've got a different president now than yes, what we did.
Yes, I think so.
You know, you just don't get anywhere by disrespecting, by treating other people and stomping all over the top of them and calling them names and things like that. Just don't do it. I've seen preachers do it. Try to run a church that way. It's a farce. Respect. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one to another toward another. Read this morning. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Well, I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. Yeah, but anyway, condescend to men of low estate. Mind not high things. Don't keep your nose up in the air. I mean, you ain't no better than the lowest person living out on the street anywhere. But for the grace of God, that'd be you out there. So don't get haughty or high-minded about what you have, who you are, what your life is like. Don't speak to others about them in a derogatory or degrading way. And when you speak to them, do it with respect and honor, not like you're talking down to them. Make them feel like you respect them and hold them high. You'd be surprised how far that'll get you with people. It'll work far better to make you a witness for God to them. You can't be mean to people and condescending, not like this, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. The word condescending means like mocking, or you're not going to get anywhere with them. They're not going to like you. And then you try to witness to them.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen preachers go out to eat after church like they like to do and be rude as a devil to a waitress.
Yes.
And and not leaving any tip, and just plain miserable people. And I've heard different waitresses and waiters that work in restaurants testify that the worst crowd they have to work with is the people after Sunday on Sunday after church. Because they're the worst tippers. They're the most impolite and rude people. And the hard and demanding and hard to satisfy. You can't please them. What a lousy testimony. That's why there needs to be preaching on this stuff. And there needs to be some examples lived to confirm it. Don't contradict what they say, especially in front of other people. You may disagree, but not with disrespect, and especially by doing it in front of other people. Just because you don't agree with somebody, it's because somebody don't know something. And it might be you. Could be. I mean, you need to entertain the possibility that I might be wrong. Maybe they know something I don't know. And that's why they have that opinion about it. I've found that a lot in my life where I've had to change my opinion because I found out something I didn't know. I didn't agree with them when they said this, and I would have told you so. But found out later, I was the dummy. They were right. So, you know, after that happens to you a few times, you learn to step back a step and catch it before. Kindness. Have a benevolent attitude toward other people. Look for needs they have or some way you can lighten their load and do it. Compassion, Gary. Talking about in Sunday school. Watch the tone of your voice. When talking to people, use a tone of voice that's gentle and respectful. Be careful about that. You know, words, it's not just words you speak, it's how you speak them. That's part of the language. You can make somebody mad just by the way you say something. Not so much what you said, just the way you said it. I don't know how many times that's happened with us, ain't it? Never has, huh? Well, amen. Praise the Lord. A soft answer turneth away wrath. What's a soft answer? Well, it's one that's not, doesn't mean you compromised or lied or changed the whole thing. It's just that you don't yell and don't growl and snarl and or say it with sarcasm in your voice or frustration. Yes. That all is spoken in the tone more than the words. And even the little children. You know, and even the dog you talk about today, this is the tone of voice. The guy made the dog think he's in trouble. And see, people respond the same way. So watch the tone of your voice. As you enter, and this is about honoring other people, honoring all people, showing them honor. Watch the tone of your voice. As you interact with them, try to look at them in your mind, in view of their whole life, and not just the present moment here.
Yes.
You know, you don't see them at home with their wife and their children, and you don't see them in their environment. You just see them out in a place. You need to consider that. You know, you don't see them at home alone, lonely, with nobody. You don't see that when you're just talking to somebody or angry with somebody or frustrated with somebody. You need to be tempered by these things. Remember all those days and weeks and months and years and decades they've lived. This is for everybody. Not just older people. Just think of everybody. A lot of days. A lot of things happened in life. You don't know what's happened to them. You don't know any of that. So you don't know really why what is going on is going on. We got no right to get mad, aggravated, and feel contempt toward people just because they say something, do something right now. Everybody's too ready to just throw a whole life away because of one transgression or one trespass. Yes. God don't do that. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means He is very patient and long-suffering on His part. He, you know, instead of venting, instead of reaching down and smiting like we do, He's just long. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He just keeps on giving. His goodness finally leads people to repentance. It's His goodness. Think about that. That's the way we do. That's the way our life is too. We don't be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Try to consider all the blood and the sweat and the tears they've shed in their lifetime. When you're looking at somebody, take in their whole life. Realize you're talking to somebody, you're looking at somebody, you're dealing with somebody who's lived a life here. They weren't just born yesterday. They didn't just appear here now in this moment of whatever's going on with you. Think about it. You're dealing with somebody who lived a whole life. I've thought about that a lot. You know, people get killed in a car wreck. Somebody shoot them or kill them, murder them, or get killed in a war or something like that. And I just think, you know, man, just think of all the... They were a baby so many years ago. Think of all the life they lived and all they learned and all the experiences in the school and the people that they knew and their family and all that, and just gone like that. Mm-hmm. Just ended. And, you know, when we don't honor people and respect people, we really do the same thing with them. We just... It's really a... serious transgression before God when we don't honor all men, when we don't honor other people. And it's the basis of character. So try to think about all that, what they've been through. Try to think about all the dreams and hopes they've had and had shattered. You know, I'm not, you know where I stand on all of this and all everything, but you know, Biden, the president, did you know that his wife and daughter were killed in a car wreck?
Yes.
And that his other son died of cancer? And all he's got left is that boy. You know, I mean, I don't agree with nothing about him. But still, what does the Bible teach us? How are we supposed to feel? You're supposed to hate him? Boy, I hate him because they don't believe in what I believe in, and they're just going to destroy everything. And I'll tell you what. And what are we supposed to do? I ain't saying you're supposed to have warm, fuzzy feelings and all of that, but you ought to take into account it's a human being. Been through a lot. Had all kinds of experiences in life. Needs God real bad. And God told us to pray for him. And I saw the other day where somebody said that. Somebody else said, I'll pray for him. I'm going to pray like Psalm 109, and God will kill him and take away his, you know, leave his children fatherless and all that. Now, do you really think that's the proper attitude for a Christian? No. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not. Don't imagine in your mind that God is pleased with that. You don't know God if you think God is pleased with that, that he laughs at it. When his people are called by his name, have that kind of attitude toward any other human being. Try to think about all the heartaches and losses and troubles they've been through. And it'll help you to have an attitude of honor and respect toward them, even if they get on your nerves sometimes. Even if they're your enemy. Tell me what Jesus said we're supposed to do about our enemies. Love your enemies. That's what he said. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you and despitefully use you and persecute you. Do good to them. I'm telling you right. I mean, this is how a Christian is supposed to be. It ought to come natural to us. After that, the goodness and kindness of God, our Savior, toward us appeared, that ought to change some things. If we really, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, what are we talking about then? If it ain't this. We were the same way, hateful and hating one another.
Mm. Yeah.
But after, that's in Titus chapter 2. But after that, the goodness, kindness and goodness of God, I'm not saying exactly right, but up here, it made us a new creature, changed us. Changed us in our character, our attitude, the way we look at other people. Well, Jesus said about those while they were driving the nails in his hand, they just got unbeaten him mercilessly. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That kind of attitude. And most Christians that I know nowadays, they wouldn't be saying that. They'd be saying, you're going to be sorry for this. God's going to get you for this. Jesus is coming back and he's going to punish you for this. We wish judgment on them instead of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
How Christian is that? What would be the better deal? God just smite them dead, or God awaken them and save them? He did it with Saul of Tarsus. Now all the people in the churches said, Barnabas went and got him and brought him to him and said, now look, you know, this man's got saved and you need to, he's a brother. You can't blame him.
No.
But at the same time, you know, you got to realize God does save old sinners. And he changes them, and our attitude toward him ought to change when he does. But in the meantime, we're supposed to honor all men. It's the Bible command. Honor all men. Remember that. Remember that on the highway, in the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear me there?
Yep.
All right. Bow with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for strength for the day. Thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the instruction in righteousness, plain, simple truth. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to live up to it. I pray you'd help us all to examine ourselves and do the best we can to honor all men. Please convict our heart when we don't. Lord, when we get angry and impatient and when we blame and we wish evil upon people, please, Lord, convict our heart that we'd realize how ungodly that is. And the world's dying for one of it right now. Lord, help us to be the real deal. And help us, Lord, to have a good testimony among all those that are without. Lord, that I'm not the only one that's supposed to be blameless. All of us are. I pray you'd help us to be blameless out there in front of everybody, then nobody would have a quarrel with us about our attitude or the way we treat other people. Help us, Lord, to have that attitude of willing to be defrauded rather than to cause someone to think that we're trying to put one over on them or get the best of them. Lord, help us to have a respectful attitude of honor and reverence toward other people, especially these that are defined so clearly in the Bible. Please watch over us now as we go to the house. Pray you'd help us through the week. Lord, that you'd strengthen our hearts and minds and souls and spirits and help us, Lord, in these days to shine forth. I pray you'd bless our lives and watch over these families and homes and help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.